From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of November 21st, 2005, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks for joining us. It's our Thanksgiving holiday edition, and coming up, we've got Dan Storkradic back. We're going to be talking about the current state of disc golf. And what is that state? Well, depends on where you live. We'll explain. Plus, Women's World Champ Des Redding is here. She's got advice to help you improve your accuracy. That is on tap this week on PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion Line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
Time for the 60-second clinic. Let's say you've just been starting to get involved with disc golf, and you're getting the mechanics down all right, but when you're approaching the basket, you find that consistently you're coming 20, 30 feet away from the basket. You're having trouble with accuracy. To help with that problem, here's Women's World Champ, Des Redding.
Accuracy really, I think, evolves with honing your skills. And so I don't know if it's so much that people are not accurate, it's that they haven't developed the shot to do that they're thinking of. So if right now, if your disc is extremely hyzering, meaning a right to left if you're a right-handed player, then aim 20 more feet. If you're off your mark 20 feet, then aim 20 feet to the right and let it work in. And then you're going to slowly get yourself back on target. Don't sit there and throw at your certain target knowing the fact that your disc usually fades right to left an extra 35 feet. This game is... it's a great game. It can be a very frustrating, it can be a very rewarding game. And so you have to know where you're at in your particular game and your series of stages and work them and then continually go in and in and in. And then you're going to be accurate where you can actually just throw a straight line to that basket. And again, playing catch, I cannot stress enough, playing catch is the way you'll get more accurate and a better field for the disc flight.
Des Redding is a two-time women's world champion. She won her most recent title this past year in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Tim McGill, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, we continue our series with PDGA number 003, Dan Storkradic. He's the PDGA Director of Special Projects, and our series is looking at disc golf's past, present, and future. Last week, we talked about the past, specifically preserving disc golf's history. This week, disc golf's present, and specifically looking at the current state of disc golf. Now, what is the current state of disc golf? According to Stork, the answer depends on where you live.
When I was in the recent summit meetings at the National Disc Golf Center in Augusta, there was some discussion about national planning, and in particular, the challenges of fitting the national tour events with regional events and the potential for conflicts in scheduling and what level of coordination is required to have those things best work. And something that occurred to me, and I'm not sure I really even articulated it clearly in those meetings, but the thought has kind of matured for me since I was in that discussion, is that I believe that it's kind of a trap for us to think that we can have a national or even more a global model for what is going to work best for the healthiest development of disc golf. I think that's a tempting model because, of course, we'd like to think that we can have a best solution for what's the next best step. But the more you think about it, when you look at the way things lay out, and Dave Gentry had done a very interesting analysis of different regions of the country, and this could be extrapolated internationally as well. And his analysis had in it a number of components, including the number of PDGA members in a region, the estimated number of recreational players, the number of PDGA events in the year, the number of registered clubs, and the number of courses. There may have been a couple of more columns in that. I'm not sure. But something that was very clear, as at least to me, when I was looking at that, is that in a sense, I felt like I was looking at slices of our historical development. Because while it's tempting to think, well, it's 2005, and what's the state of disc golf in North America? There isn't a single answer to that question. The answer is that almost every region is at a different stage of historical development. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down and you talk with the state coordinator in North Dakota or Kansas or California or Alaska or New Jersey, those conversations are dramatically different because really, truly, North Dakota may be at a stage that we in general saw in 1973 in terms of the pure statistics of the density of activity, the number of courses, the level of knowledge of the public, and all of those things. And so it occurred to me that really it's a lot more productive model to think in terms of saying we need to deal with each region at the historical stage that is in. Now, the advantage is that when we look at a region like California or the Middle Atlantic states or some others, we can in fact see what has happened through those stages and what were productive arrangements for clubs and players and tournaments in each one of those stages. And so, in fact, we can be Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur Court a little bit and go back and tell the guy in North and South Dakota a little bit about what the future is going to hold by saying, okay, you're now at the stage where you're going to start to see people wanting to travel more to events. We know this because in the 1980s, we saw this in Colorado. And here's what we did, and this is how we capitalized on this. Or, hey, we learned a lesson. We made a mistake there because we didn't react quickly enough. But the point is that what we really need to do is be thinking in terms of chronological models that we can then provide to the different regions and say, hey, here are some ideas about what will probably help you grow the best right now. Obviously, we need some things like the national tour that are going to overlay across all of these valleys and mountains of activity. But I think it's really important to keep in mind that things are very, very different in these different regions. And whatever overall plan we have, we need to make sure that it takes that into account.
That sounds like a really big project.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. I think that it is a big project in terms of the codification of those various chronological plans. But it's the more important thing probably is for us as central planners and as regional planners to keep it in mind how different things are. Because as I say, I think there's a temptation to say, well, it's 2005 and we're at this level of development in disc golf. That's hardly ever applicable as I look at Dave's chart, because it's just a different world and they are facing old familiar problems and opportunities. Because we also know, I mean, try to put a disc golf course in Southern California right now, and you're at a kind of a post-industrial level of not in my backyard, environmental impact, community meetings, nobody wants it level, whereas that conversation in Fargo would probably sound a lot more like the conversation here sounded in 76. Oh, wow, cool. That sounds great. When can we put it in? And that's different. Land use is different, and people's awareness is different, and some of that's good and some of it's bad. So yeah, sure, there is work to be done in terms of putting those programs together. But I think the most important thing is for us all around to recognize that there are essentially natural chronologies of growth. And they may go at different speeds, but they're almost inevitable in terms of those steps, and that the regions are at very different ones.
What sort of a role would you see the state coordinators playing in trying to make this happen?
I see the state coordinators as absolutely essential in making this happen, because they are really the point people who are perhaps the only ones to, they're at that interface between national and international planning and what's going on at the grassroots where they're playing and working. So they really are the ones who have to speak up and say where they are and say the kinds of things that they need and recognize that some plans that are wonderful for one region, they're simply not ready for. So I'm a huge believer in that level of our organization, and I think that it is absolutely essential, and I'm looking forward to a time that people in general come to recognize how important that is, and I expect that if things go as they should, that will become an increasingly high-profile role in regions, that people look to those folks and the people who work with them as really important leaders in the development of the sport. And I expect that hand-in-hand with that will go that we should eventually get to the point that elections for those positions are hotly contested, because, of course, people will have different views of how they think the region should proceed. And I believe that that will be a measure of our health going forward here, that we start to see more and more enthusiasm for running for those positions. I think some of that will be driven pretty quickly here in short order when the state coordinators start to take the lead on the course evaluations. And that will bring them, I think, more to the attention of local people, and they'll begin to recognize that position more clearly than they have in the past. But I think those folks are really the linchpin of healthy development for the sport, at least in North America.
Dan Stork Ronick is PDGA Director of Special Projects and spoke to us from his home in Pasadena, California. And finally this week, for most of our listeners, it is a holiday weekend, so not much going on this coming weekend. However, there are a few things. November 26th and 27th in Grovetown, Georgia, it's the 7th Still Stuffed. If you're in Japan, the Nihon Open going on in Ryokuchi, Japan. And in Hobart, Australia, it's the Tasmanian Open. That's how they say it there. Mm-hmm. And that's going to do it. Slow news week for disc golf because of the holiday, but I hope you enjoy some good times with your family. And, of course, on Friday, it's a great excuse to go out and throw some frisbees, you know, work off some calories, spend some time with some old friends perhaps you haven't seen in a while. And that, my friends, is the disc golf news for the week of November 21st. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsor this week is Innova Champion Disc. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, hug some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.